Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Time for our Monday morning health brief. Chief Medical Officer, Northwest Region, Northwestern Medicine, Dr. Irfan Hafiz joins us today. Doctor, good morning. Let's talk about long COVID. The numbers are alarming. 400 million people worldwide have been afflicted with long COVID. That's 6% of adults in the world, and many have not recovered. How is this being treated?
Yeah, good morning. So this number was pretty staggering when I saw this as well, and this is worldwide. And I think what they're really looking at is people who've had ongoing issues, medical issues after having COVID, especially early on. We've seen COVID being milder and milder as you get past 2023 and beyond there. But early on, people have had issues with heart issues, diabetes issues, and so on. And unfortunately, the virus is gone. So this is not an infection at this point. It's really managing the damage that is left behind there. And that 6% number is pretty staggering for adults, which leads to that 400 million number.
So what can people do who are dealing with this? Is there anything?
Again, it depends on the type of damage that was done, so really consulting your doctor. And there are some long COVID clinics and physicians that do specialize in that, especially bringing a multidisciplinary approach to that, where, you know, if there are more neurologic issues, you're seeing a neurologist there as well, or pulmonary specialist. So trying to help manage some of those symptoms. What we have found, though, I think in the study was the number of people that had long-term disability or long-term unable to fully be employed, having to cut back on their work schedules. And this is a lot of economic impact as well. So really trying to get these people back to their usual activity levels is important.
Now that it's back to school time, do you expect to see a COVID spike?
Yeah, I think we saw one already this in July. We did see the numbers in the community go up. We've seen a lot of people at work even have to take time off for either themselves or a family member that became ill. But unlike in previous waves, even though the numbers were high, the severity was rather lower. People felt really miserable. Don't get me wrong. It was much more than just a cold. But generally about 3 to 4 days in duration, but just fatigue and that afterwards. But we have seen quite a few people get sick this time around.
Anything new on the vaccine and advice for people on that?
Yeah, I think it's really an extension of what we've already been talking about. So I think as the seasonal vaccines, we start to get into the fall, we start to get into that seasonal bump. We had a little bit of a summer bump, as we just said, but there's probably going to be a winter bump as well. Again, overall, getting vaccinated, trying to keep up to date with that is really important. Fortunately, we've seen very few hospitalizations. There have been a few, but nowhere near what it has been earlier in the pandemic.
Let's talk about the shingles vaccine. And there seems to be a connection between that shot and the onset of dementia. What did this study tell us, Doctor?
Yeah, this is one's really intriguing and really resonates with me. And we talked about this, a preliminary study on your show a couple of months ago as well, where they looked at, in this case, they looked at about, 200,000 people, and about half of them were vaccinated for shingles and half of them were not. And it looked like when they followed these people that those who were vaccinated against shingles were less likely or developed dementia later. So it does seem to have some protective effect. The exact correlation of the shingles virus to dementia was suggested in another study, but these numbers seem to say, okay, maybe there is some correlation there. And so as we get older, it's probably, it's a good thing to get your shingles shot updated.
And there are two now, right? When you get the shot, you get the vaccine two different times. Is that how it works now?
I believe so, yes. So the formulation currently.
Let's talk about dementia and hearing and vision loss and the connection there.
Yeah, so this study really was looking at adults over 65 who experience vision loss. and looked at their likelihood of developing dementia, and there seems to be a correlation there, is also for hearing as well. And therefore, you know, and this was beyond just looking at their other risk factors such as smoking, diabetes, hypertension. So it does seem to be an independent variable as well. And it does seem to, and it kind of, I think, makes sense when we take a look at it, where when you lose vision, lose hearing, you're losing that one sensory input that is helping your brain, you know, get information about your environment and your surroundings. When you take that one piece out of there or reduce it, that the brain has less information to work with, and maybe it accelerates the dementia a little bit. So it's really important, especially as we get older, making sure that we're on top of our vision and hearing care as well.
And you're talking mainly about adults over 65, aren't you?
Correct.
And if anyone's concerned, the message would be what? Get tested, huh?
Get your checkups. Make sure you're getting, especially if you're diabetic or hypertensive, especially when it comes to the eyes. The eyes are a very sensitive organ that way. So those kind of underlying diseases you do have, make sure you get your annual checkups, which are optometrists, and make sure there's no disease there that they need to get a hold of early on.
This is fascinating, and it strikes me as very ironic that you're looking for something healthy and you want to have low carb, low sugar, keto products, but it's not always a good idea, is it? Tell us about this this sweetener, doctor.
Yeah, this study was really looking at a sweetener. It's probably called stevia or erythritol. It's an alcohol-based derivative that is a food sweetener. It's about 70% as sweet as sugar, and it's commonly used. Again, as you said, it doesn't have really calories in it, so it's a low-calorie, low-carb alternative to that. So this study specifically really looked at consuming very high quantities. So I want to emphasize that. It's not that, you know, chewing some gum with this is going to cause problems, but when they looked at participants, volunteers who were consuming high amounts, that they found that their platelets had some clotting issues there, and they were over. So there's some risk of strokes and things like that, potentially, theoretically possible, but you'd have to consume really a lot of that. So again, it's getting back to moderation of everything, and making sure that we're just not, you know, consuming high quantities of it.
This question comes up all the time, whether you're better off with one of these diet drinks or if you don't have too much, the real thing. What's your take on that?
I guess I think it depends. There's a lot of things. You know, if someone is a diabetic, say, for example, probably still saying with the sugar-free is more important because we don't want to get those spikes in sugars. However, if you're not diabetic, you know, it may be okay. You know, again, in moderation. But if we are starting to gain weight because of the higher calories being consumed by regular sugars in our diet, then that's a problem too. So it's kind of balancing. Again, everything in moderation.
There was a new study came out last week about the dangers of cannabis use. What have we learned, or what do we learn from this research?
So in this study, they really looked at you know, heavy consumers of marijuana and marijuana products, that there was a higher risk of head and neck cancers, about 3 to 5 times or so. Especially laryngeal cancers and throat cancers were seen with higher frequency there. You know, so we've always known that, you know, cannabinoids can be carcinogenic, but it's not clear if it's just the smoking part of it that's doing that, because most of the participants were smoking or smoking and using edibles, or if it's the actual cannabis itself. And there may be a little bit of both in that. So I think there's some more studies to kind of clarify that, but at least the smoking seems to be higher risk than non-smoking of the marijuana.
That makes sense. Whether you're smoking a cigarette or you're smoking marijuana, what goes into your lungs is not good, is it?
No, and you're absolutely right. So I think it starts really with that.
There's a new study about breast cancer and post-op radiation, and this sounds like good news, is it?
It is, and this is something that, you know, you're you know, your cancer doctor and all may recommend. They have already have been recommending in the past as well, where, you know, after breast surgery, depending on the stage and the type of the cancer, that there are benefits of giving some radiation, and that further reduces the likelihood of recurrence later on. So, again, consulting your doctor on these issues is really important there.
And I guess when we talk about breast cancer, again, mammograms, that's the key word here, isn't it?
It is. It absolutely is, getting a screen, especially if you have a family history. So all that plays into that. If there's a family history of breast cancer, making sure that we're following the latest guidelines for screening and sticking to that. Now, you don't necessarily need to be overdoing the mammograms either, but if you're following the recommendations, depending on your family history, your age, and your past screening history, I think that's all of that really is important there.
So this this research that we've just been talking about here, the bottom line on that was that the radiation therapy following the surgery could keep breast cancer from returning for up to 10 years. Is that right?
Yes, and a lot of research goes into breast cancer. We're looking at that long-term, you know, recurrence rate. So we're talking decades out, and that's where this really plays into, is what can we do to make sure it's not coming back after a long period of time.
Dr. Irfan Hafiz, Northwestern Medicine. Thank you, doctor. Have a good day.
You too.